It's a beautiful, beautiful verse that they left out of this particular version of this song. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? When we saw him, there is nothing that we should desire him. We did consider him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But surely he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. All we like sheep have gone astray. Can I get a hearty amen from everyone in this building? But God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Therefore, I will appoint him a portion with the great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we're exalting him here today. He that knew no sin became treated as a sinner, yet without sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll never get over it. Amen. All throughout eternity, we will never get over what he has done for us. Because I believe this, and I can't verify it biblically, and Jimmy can help me if there's somewhere to do that. But I believe there's one, but the reason I believe his body will be scarred throughout all eternity to remind us to never forget the price that was paid for us to be in that place he's prepared for us. Because when he appeared to Thomas after the resurrection, and Thomas couldn't believe it. He said, I can't believe what I've seen. I can't believe it. And Jesus knew he was struggling with believing what he was seeing. And he said, Thomas, come here. Put your finger. This is in his glorified body, the only body that will remain scarred or marred after the resurrection is the body of Jesus Christ. He said, come and put your finger in the holes in my hands and thrust your hand in my side. And when Thomas approached him and saw those holes and that riven side, he fell on his face.
My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God.
My Lord and my God. They wrote the song, did they? Who am I that my king, a king would bleed and die for? But beyond that, who am I that my Lord and my God would find a way to take on flesh and take my place on that old rugged cross? Amen. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen and believed. But here we have, how many believe right now? We got believers in this room. Glory to God. But more blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Glory to God. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. You're more blessed than Thomas, who saw what he saw. Because we see it through the eye of faith. And I'm going to tell you, through the eye of faith, we don't struggle with it at all. Praise God. You may be seated for a few minutes this morning. You're a worshiping group of people, and I'm glad to share a celebration of anything with you. We got Mother's Day, Father's Day. Praise God. Some of us guys are going to start Brother's Day. Hallelujah for the brethren. Isn't that right? We need a Brother's Day. I mean, we got Father's Day, but you know how that goes. It's kind of... But Brother's Day It's going to be a celebration. Yeah. Praise God. But this isn't Brother's Day. This is Mother's Day. Yeah. I had the privilege of sharing the gospel for years with my mother. My mother did not come to the Lord till she was in her 80s in a nursing home. I prayed for her year after year after year after year. And she never saw what she needed to see. The God of this world blinds the minds of men, lest they would see the glory of the gospel and would be healed and delivered and saved and set free. She never saw it. One day I went to visit her in the nursing home. I've been praying for years. And out of the clear blue, she looked up at me and in one of those wonderful lucid moments. And she said, "Bobby, I think it's time I gave my heart to the Lord." Amen. And after I took 3 laps around the building hollering hallelujah, we prayed the sinner's prayer. Amen. And my mother accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And there was some clear evidence, because she went on to say after accepting Christ, she had held a grudge against her brother, and I won't go into the details why. It was a family thing. How many know? Everybody say it's a family thing. Okay, you understand what I'm talking about. And she held that grudge about that thing for all these years. But she said, "Bobby, I think it's time I forgave my brother." I said, "Yes, ma'am, it's high time you forgave your brother." Amen. So I prayed with her that God would help her get any of that out of her heart, any leftovers before she received Christ out of her heart. So I'm glad that my mother is with the Lord today. I still have my mother. She's just not here. She's there. But she's still my mom today. And so it's Mother's Day, and the great tribute, I've said it for over 50 Mother's Days to congregations, and I'm going to say it again today. The greatest tribute that God can give you, mothers, here today, is to talk about His love and use you, if you're a good, godly mother and a loving mother. Now, I don't know what kind of mother you had. My mother grew up in a home where there was little or no love, where my grandpa, her daddy, would come home from the coal mines and her mother would be frustrated with the kids. She would tell on the kids to him. He was tired and he was drinking heavily I led him to the Lord too. That's a whole other story. But it was my privilege to lead my grandpa to the Lord on my mother's side, Grandpa Hopper. Anyway, he would come home drinking, come home tired, and have to deal with discipline. She didn't discipline. She told him to get them. And my mom said he would take off his belt, and sometimes he was drinking, and he would hit them not only with the belt, but with the buckle end of the belt. And any book you put that in, that's child abuse. That is not discipline anymore. Her mother would ask, "Did you see Hubert talking to any women downtown?" She said, "No, Mom, I didn't." Her mother would whip her for lying, even though she didn't see him do anything wrong, because she wanted a reason to jump on him. So my mother got a spanking for telling the truth, a hard spanking, until she conceded, "Yeah, Mom, he didn't talk long, but he did talk to one lady. You better not lie to me again." So she grew up that way, and it did something to her heart. So my mom wasn't a hugger. She didn't hug me. She would do anything in the world for me. She stood on her feet with calcium deposits and as a cashier till she couldn't hardly stand up in pain to work and make a living. My dad was sickly all his life and couldn't do that. But she did that, and I thank her for it. But there was not it wasn't a close relationship. So when God talks about His love and a mother's love, the kind of mother, the ideal mother, The mother that is self-sacrificing, the giving mother. Every mother's not like that. Same thing about Father's Day. When we think about our Heavenly Father, if you had a bad daddy in your life, then you don't relate. What's that all about? But think of the best mother that you can think of, what she would be like. God said, I use that mama and that instinctiveness to love and care for the children in a self-sacrificing way. I choose to use that kind of mother to let you get a glimpse of the infinite, divine, agape love of God. You come to know God better when you can associate Him with someone or something that you can grasp. The Bible said that His love is a love that passes knowledge. It can't be known by just trying to explain it. We can talk about the suffering of Jesus on the cross, what He went through to save us, maybe get a glimpse of it. But we're still seeing the outworking of something that we can't see. And that's the heart of God, the person Himself. That's why Paul, with all of his experiences, said, oh, that I might know Him. And he wants us to know Him. So, mamas, he said, think of the best mother you could possibly think of, because I'm going to use that mother's love. And He's always masculine. God is always the He, the Him. But when He wants to show you the tenderness of His love, not just the toughness of His judgment or His chastisement, Amen. He uses a mama. Yeah. He asked the question, there are people forsaking their children, neglecting their children, killing their children, which is so against nature. A mother lion defends her cubs. Paul, let's get back to God. God said, you know, you hurt my kids. He said, I'll be like a lion. I'll be like a mama lion. I'll be like a bear. If you ever, Mike is not here, he goes hiking. He crossed almost into Canada one time without a visa because he kept going down a trail, you know. Mike, yeah, he's going down a trail and doesn't realize he's so far north he's about to cross the border, get arrested. We'd have to go take an offering to bail him out and bring him home. I love Mike. We talk about him while he's not here. We talk about him while he's here more than when he's not here. Amen. But one thing I've always talked to Mike about, if you ever see a mama bear with her cubs, you do not get a photograph. You do not stand and gawk. You run. Actually, you walk fast so the bear won't just say, pray, instinct, kill it. But you threaten those cubs, or you're in the neighborhood where they are. She considers that a threat. And the most dangerous bear you'll ever meet is not just a hungry bear or just a mean killer bear, but the mama bear. We got a lady right here whose nickname, Cher Bear. Isn't that right? I wonder why. Have you met Josh, one of her offspring? He's this big guy, you know. And I remember we had something over at their home, and Josh came up to me and he said, you know who the toughest woman in this room is? I looked at my wife, you know, I mean, it just grabbed. But he pointed at his mama. Because, not just because she made him walk the chalk while he was growing up, but because she's the mama bear that covered him and protected him, was there for him. And you never outgrow that need. None of us. We all need. And God says, pick a mama like that, and I'll show you a part of my person and my very nature, something you can't even see. You see how it works. when Jesus died on the cross and God gave His Son to do that.
Yeah.
But you don't see Him. But He did something. He said something. Let me tell you what He said real quick. Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. As one who... Now, I can get that. I can get that. The Bible speaks of a love that passes knowledge, that God wanted us to know. So He uses a perfect mother's love, the protective love, the covering love, the comforting love. I came up during the Vietnam era, and I was interested in real books about Vietnam, not fictional books and stuff, but the real people that were there and served. And one thing that impressed me so much was one of the, I guess they used to call them WACs, the women that served as nurses in the MASH units just behind the lines in Vietnam and Korea. And the people who did that, one of the nurses and several of them agreed with it. These young men, some of them just 18, just out of high school, they're talking about starting up the draft again because of the wars and rumors and possibilities. They're talking about having every person between 18 and 30 register for the draft. Just in case they're needed, they already have the list. I remember all of those days. I remember my son Alan asking me after we were watching some news about Vietnam, and he said, "Dad, am I going to have to go and fight in Vietnam?" And I said, "Son, I don't know. I'm praying that no matter what happens, that God will be with you and God will cover you. But I can't answer that question because I don't know the answer to it. I tried to join the United States Air Force. I went down and I filled out everything, tried to join. They found out that I had a child and they didn't want me because I had a child. You know why I tried to join? Because if you join, you serve 2 years. If you're drafted, back then it was a 4-year term. I thought, I got a baby at home. I don't need to be out gone somewhere. I need to be healthy. I did change diapers.
Oh, absolutely. You could do everything.
I did everything. I even stuck him with a latch pin while changing the diaper. I knew how to do it all. Amen. God was so good to us. We were so silly and so young.
Yeah.
But God's grace was sufficient.
Amen. We survived.
But when those young men and men in that age bracket between 18 and 30 fighting in Vietnam back in that MASH unit, when they knew they were dying, even though they could give them morphine for the pain, that they knew they were dying, they called on Jesus. They called on Jesus. They called on God. And they called for their mother. They call for their mother to comfort them. Because there's nobody on planet Earth other than Jesus Himself, or God Himself, that could comfort, especially back then, when the mother had such an influence and impact on the children. And these young men that were toughened for battle, but when dying, they needed the comfort of their mother, not just the morphine for the pain, but the comfort of having their mother cover them and comfort them. That's why when God says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
When Israel realizes who their Messiah is, and when they accept him as their Messiah, a day is coming when they're going to believe. And he said, when that day comes in Jerusalem, I'm going to comfort you like a mother comforts her children. I'm going to cover you with a covering of my spirit. The great psalm that we love to grab a hold of in these dangerous days, Psalm 91. Hallelujah. It's a covering psalm. In the Old Covenant, there's a psalm that says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Can you say amen?
Amen.
And because your trust is under the covert of his wings, that's mama talk. Look at somebody say, that's mama talk. The covert of his wings. How excellent is thy loving kindness. And here's where I need Jimmy's help. There's a Hebrew word. It's used over 250 times in the Old Covenant. Can you pronounce it?
I can't make the guttural sound.
It's hasid.
Yes.
It's hasid. It would be hasid. Where's my handkerchief? Anyway. Hasid over here. You're going to need a towel. Can you say amen? Hasid. I got a hanky here. Thank you. Anyway, listen. This remember this today, church. This is for showing. This is for blowing. Okay. Hey, it's going to be all right, sister. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You're in Venables Church today. This is that old stuffy church. Anyway, God is good. How excellent is thy hasid? 250 times steadfast love. Loving kindness. What's the difference, Pastor, between kindness and loving kindness? Let me give you a theological example of that. Kindness is, are you ready? Kindness is giving every man a peanut butter sandwich. Loving kindness is putting jelly on it. Amen. It goes beyond. Loving kindness, steadfast love, it's all rendered hasid. It's the kind of love that doesn't give up. It's a covering love. It talks about the covert of his wings. How excellent is thy hasid? Well, what is that? We know what it does. We saw it in Christ. We saw it on the cross. We see it. But God says, this is me. This is who I am. This is why I offer mercy. Hasid. This is why I offer grace. Hasid.
Yeah.
It's because I am this kind of divine love.
Yeah.
And it's my nature to do that. It's not something I have to decide to do. It's who I am.
Yeah.
And that's why he told Israel, I will keep you in this covenant love as the apple of mine eye.
Uh-huh.
You know what the word apple means? Oh, apple of eye. Oh, that's my son, Robert. Oh, he's such a good boy. She told every bad thing I ever did to everybody she ever met. I didn't know. And I was a good boy. I can't imagine if I was a bad boy. I mean, forgot to put the garbage out, you know. She worked in the grocery store. I walked in, you know, with her. It's time for her to get off, Mama. You know, I'm about 9 years old or 10. And, when the cashier said, is that your son, Gene? Oh, he's such a handsome young man. I said, yeah, all right. He looked good. She said, but you know, he forgot to put the garbage out last week and I had to give him a whipping. I thought, Mom, come on. I'll sit in the car till you come out next time. There wasn't any hasid there. But in God's person, who he is, it's by nature. So he told Israel, I've loved you with a covenant love, hasid. And this is in my heart. I didn't choose you because you were greater in number than any other nation. He didn't choose them because they were nice people. He said, I've set my love on you.
And I chose you because you're the fewest of all the people.
Yes.
The fewest of all the people.
The fewest of all people. You're a little nobody. And I've set my love upon you. And he said, on top of that, you're a stiff-necked people. You're stubborn and self-willed. And your flesh is too, so don't be too hard on ancient Israel. Everybody pointing at everybody else, yeah? That's how it works. Boy, is he stubborn. Boy, is she stubborn. But me. No, you're. Boy, okay, you put a double whammy on her. Okay.
She's a double
whammy. She's, okay, see? Everybody pointing fingers. But you know what? God said, I got a covenant with Abraham. And I set my love upon you. And I love you to this degree. In spite of yourself, you are the apple of mine eye.
Amen.
Oh, that means they're so great. And now he just applauds them. No, he isn't. He's saying, you're the apple of my eye. You know what apple means?
Yeah.
It means the iris. It's the part of your eye that if something is threatening, you cover, you don't want it to hit your eye. It's a reflex action. If something is headed right into your eye, you put your hand up. It's a reflex. You don't have to get God to love you enough to help you when trouble comes. Because of Hasid being part of his nature, he reacts. Call upon me in the day of trouble. He reacts, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Because, listen, Israel's not the only apple of his eye. So is every child of God, hallelujah, in the new covenant.
Amen.
God reacts like anyone would react. He said, I'm treating you like you were part of me, because, in fact, now you are part of me.
Amen.
You're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
Hallelujah.
And I love you like that.
Amen.
Call on me in the day of trouble.
Yeah.
Boom! I will deliver you. Don't think twice about trusting me, believing me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I like this. I like this. Though God's always referred to as masculine, there's a tenderness in his divine nature, a kindness called loving kindness in the old covenant. Jimmy, that word Hasid, it's all over the old covenant. And it's descriptive of a love that we saw manifest when he gave his son. We saw it manifest when he gave his life to suffer and die for us. But we didn't see the Father's heart until we understand how he relates that part of his divine agape love to a perfect love, a perfect mother's love.
Amen.
For her child. It's intrinsic and it's part of his being. That's why 1 John said, we've known and believed the love that God has for us.
Amen.
For God doesn't just have love. He is love.
Amen.
He is Hasid.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why grace and mercy flows from him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There's a toughness of his judgment and even his chastisement. I'm not going to ask any of the sweet children of God here if you've ever been chastised. But the Bible said if you belong to him, he chastises every son that he loves, scourges everyone that he receiveth. Faint not when thou art chastened of him. Because if you are, see, you're not perfect. So if you're without chastisement, can I be as plain as the Bible? Can I give you the scripture? You are bastards and not sons.
Amen.
You don't belong to him. He's not going to correct you. He's not going to chastise you. Amen. Because you're not his child. But if you belong to him, chastisement is a sign of a parental relationship to him and with him.
Amen.
And it's all because not because he wants to hurt you, but because he wants to help you so the devil can't hurt you.
Amen.
Because the devil wants to destroy you. God wants to instruct you. There's a difference in condemnation and conviction. Conviction is God loving on you and saying, come back to me so I can cover you. Come close to me so I can come close to you and keep you Can you say amen? I'm gonna read this from a paraphrase. I don't do that often. The Bible said to behold the goodness and severity of God. Perfect balance of His judgment and His tender mercies. Upon Israel, judgment. They were cut off as they rejected Him. But on the Gentiles, there's this goodness shown. For He grafted us into the true vine. Behold that tension between the goodness and the severity of God. If we go one way, He's all love and He never chastens anybody or judges anybody. And that creates a church full of spoiled brats. We had one amen and a cricket somewhere in the corner chirping, got quiet. That produces, it's all love. God is a Kris Kringle in the sky. He just lives to give you every little thing your little heart could desire. Or it swings the other way. God is a harsh disciplinarian, ready to balk you in anything for any infraction. Both of them brings an imbalance and a misunderstanding of His heart. You can go that far into love until there's no judgment or chastisement. There's an imbalance.
Yes, sir.
Behold the goodness and the severity of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And He said, just because you've been grafted in and you've been given grace and Israel's been cut off right for a season as they rejected their Messiah, boast not yourself against the true vine. Because of their disobedience and stubbornness, they were cut off. He said, don't think you can do the same thing just because of My mercy toward you and not be chastised, corrected. Judged in the sense of corrective judgment. Not to hurt you and harm you, but to get your attention and to get you back in a vowed state and a believing state instead of a stubborn state. God loves you too much to let the devil have you and let the world have you. He'll step in. I have been chastised before. I am a child of the King. Can you say amen? Brother Venable, what did you do? Brother Venable, what did you do? None of your beeswax. Is that okay? None of your beeswax. That's between Me and Him. He knows what I did. I know what I did. He took care of business. My dad used to take care of business back when they took care of business. Your mama took care of business. Anyway, moving right along. We won't even go. Your mama took care, I believe. Anyway, my dad would tell me, Bobby, I'm going to fix your little red wagon. And I thought, ha, ha, ha. I ain't got no little red wagon. I found out I did have a red wagon. I found out I had a wagon, rather, and when he fixed it, it was red.
Amen.
That was back in the day. Dr. Spock hadn't wrote his book. People are still reading the Bible. Amen. He that loveth his son chastises him betimes. That means more than once. And I got it more. My dad, can you imagine the sweetest, easy going? Oh, let him alone, Bobby. Don't spank him, Bobby. Don't punish him, Bobby, Grandpa would say about Alan. And I'd say, what happened to you? When did the change come? He's got a red wagon. Amen. Just like mine. Fix it for him. I want to read this to you and we're going to have a song. Let me read it from the paraphrase. In the context, I was preaching in a Baptist church that let me come. It was highly unusual, but I was there for God let me. They wanted me to come and I came and I ministered. There were some young people sitting on the front row and I found that scripture that I'm going to read from the paraphrase, but it said, thou shalt be dandled upon his knees dandled upon his knees. He would rejoice over us with singing, and we would be dandled on his knees. And I had these kids on the front row, and I said, listen, here's what my great-grandmother, because she was pro-Bobby. She loved me, and I loved her because she loved me. And I said, she would sit me on her knee, and she would dandle me. This is what dandle is all about. Ride a little horsey, go to town, ride a little horsey. And on the last part of that, she'd say, don't fall down. She'd straighten her knee, and I would fall to the floor. And I'd jump right back up on her knee. Ride a little horsey, go to town, ride a little horsey, don't fall down. And I'd jump back on her knee. And after a while, she'd say, okay, Bobby, okay. I loved to be dandled on her knee, but she was getting up in years. She was my great grandma. My other grandma, direct grandma, she didn't dandle me. She fixed my red wagon. My dad, my grandma, but my great grandma, she was the dandler. Can I read this sweetness of Hasid? There's a tension, and it's perfectly balanced between the toughness of his judgment and the sweetness and tenderness of his love. Behold the goodness and the severity. And you'll get that balance, and you'll understand and appreciate the God that you serve, who is your heavenly Father, who loves you like a mother. Hallelujah. I said he's your heavenly Father, who loves you like a mother. How excellent is your Hasid, your loving kindness, O God. It's intrinsic to his being. And we see how it works out. And we know it when we get to know him. And he says, the perfect mother. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Can she forget her suckling child? Yea, she may. But I'll never forget you, O house of Israel. Wasn't contingent on their performance, but on his covenant with Abraham. I set my love on you. They forgot him, but he didn't forget them. And when they came back to him, he restored them. Glory to God. I'm so glad. I'm going to read this to you. And out of a paraphrase of this scripture, Isaiah 66. Listen to what it said. I will pour robust well-being into her like a river. The glory of nations like a river in flood. You'll nurse at her breast, nestle in her bosom, and be bounced on her knees. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Can you get a hold of this today?
Yeah.
You will be nursed at her breast. That's why he's called El Shaddai. Did you know that? El Shaddai. You know what Shad is? Shad is the Hebrew for breast. Am I right? Shad is breast. El Shaddai means the many-breasted one. I saw a movie, and it moved me. I watched it with my son when he was little. I might have watched it with my granddaughter when she was little. And I hate spiders. I hate spiders. If I had to choose between a spider and a roach, I'll take the roach any day. But Charlotte's Web, she's a sweet spider, lives in the barn. And anyway, when it opens up, the little girl, her dad sees all these piglets, and they're all vying for a teat to get their dinner, their supper. But there's a runt that can't get fed because they push it out of the way. And he's getting a hammer or something. He's going to kill that runt because it's not going to grow, and it's not going to be worth anything on the farm, and it's going to starve to death, and he don't have time to feed it with a bottle. But that little girl, when the compassion steps in, that's when I got the lump in my throat. She steps in and said, Daddy, don't kill it. I'll feed it. I'll raise it. Yeah. You know something? The devil says to God, why don't you just kill them? Destroy them. They're hard-headed. They're stubborn. They keep rejecting you, your word, your prophets that you send. Why don't you just kill them? And you know what God says? You don't know what spirit you're of. How do you know he said that? Because he said it to his own disciples. They preached. No one came to Christ. They were angry and said, why don't you? No one responded to Jesus' ministry. They said, you've got the power. Why don't you call fire down out of heaven and kill them all? And Jesus said, you do not understand God. Yes, there's a fiery judgment coming. Yes, it's going to be awful. The tribulation is going to be beyond anything you could possibly imagine in terms of judgment. But there's an offer of grace and an offer of mercy because of the hasid that is in the heart of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want you to understand, Paul said, with all saints, what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. And to know all the dimensions of divine love that passes knowledge. Amen. That means we have to begin to see it by revelation and sense it by realization in our own life. Don't ever interpret going God taking you through something instead of from it as him not loving you. Don't misinterpret. Amen. He is consistently the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Lord God of Israel, and he changes not.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our poor robust well-being, that's what comfort is. Into her like a river, the glory of nations like a river in flood stage. You'll nurse at her breast, nestle in her bosom, talking about Jerusalem, and be comforted in Jerusalem, for whom his mother comforts. So I, now God is talking about himself in relation to his people. And I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Quit arguing with the love of God and start believing it. And start receiving it. Hallelujah. You say, Brother, well, I don't see how he can love me. I'm so messed up. You are far, probably. You're probably not perfect, I dare say.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want to have an altar call already.
Amen.
And if you think you are, you're in big trouble. When a man says, behold, I stand, better watch out. Take heed lest you fall. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. It humbles me to know that God loves like that. That God loves me like that. That God loves you like that. Anybody see, what is it? The lion, witch, and the wardrobe. It's not about witches. It's an allegory. It's a comparison. C.S. Lewis was involved in that, I believe. Narnia Chronicles. It got my throat again, because Aslan is this majestic, powerful lion. And yet, he let them, that's the key, he lets them kill him. Like Jesus let them put him on the cross. Let them nail. He said, I could have called. The number, don't have my...
More than 12 legions. Right?
More than 12 legions. The math works out by the legions. 12 legions, around 70,000 angels were at his disposal. If he didn't want to go to that cross, they couldn't have put him on it. He went because of a love for you and me that says to him and to us, you are worth my suffering, you're worth my dying, your soul is worth that, so I can save your soul. Oh, what a Savior Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Never get over what He's done for you and what He's willing to do for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Believe it and receive it. And don't argue with grace, as the Scripture puts it. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Quit arguing about it because of how you feel. It's not about how you feel. It's how He feels about you.
Amen.
Praise God. I don't know about you, but this day of pouting is coming to an end. You need a praise. He's not looking for another pouty Christian. He's looking for a praising servant that understands, appreciates, and appropriates what He's done for us on that cross.
Amen.
Amen. Quit fooling around with God. Quit playing church. Amen. Get down to business with God. He's ready to do business with you. He's ready to save your soul if you're not saved. He's ready to restore you if you've fallen away. He's ready to heal you if you're sick. Call on Me in the day of trouble. You're the apple of Mine eye. It's a reflex when you cry unto Me. My child is calling on Me. I love My child. I cover them with the covert of My wings. Hallelujah. I am and always will be a Hasid God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Merciful God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We got a bit of a song. Aslan. When this mighty lion in the movie laid down, like Jesus laid down on that cross, I got that big lump in my throat.
Yeah.
And I thought that lion didn't have to do that. That lion is mighty. And that's why in the book of Revelation, we see the lion and simultaneously we see the Lamb.
Yeah.
The goodness, the severity of God in perfect balance.
Amen.
John hears a voice like many waters and a voice like a trumpet. He turns to see the voice and he saw Jesus as the lion. And there's a cry made, who shall take the book from him that sits upon the throne and open the seals, begin the purification of the earth and the judgment of the wicked? And the angel says, no one is found except the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the only one worthy. So he turns to see the lion. And when he turns around, instead of seeing that lion, for our victory wasn't won by the lion. It was won by the Lamb. And that's what confused the devil. It wasn't the power of the lion, but the love of the Lamb. Glory be, that offered Himself in our place on that cross. And He said, I turn to see. I look to see. And I saw a lamb as it had been slain. And that means the throat of the lamb has been cut. The blood that spurted out is wicking through that pure white wool.
Yeah.
And now that lamb is blood stained. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. He went into the grave, the lamb, in our behalf. But He came out of that grave as the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
So the little girl who comes upon this mighty lion, she asks that person with her, is he dangerous? Because he looks so scary. She said, absolutely. But he's good. He's good. He's good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you play a little bit of this song before? Are you seeing this tenderness
amen.
Of God amen. Toward you
amen.
Today?
Amen.
They that do know their God, what's going to happen to you? They'll be strong and do exploits. They won't be tentative. They won't be timid. They'll be emboldened, praise God, to believe God when they pray and to tell the accusing devil, you've got to leave here. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A little bit of this, if you will. I've seen I am, and I know that I am loved.
Amen.
Will you receive it today as we close?